Well, Psalm chapter 5, if you would, please. Psalm 5. And we've been talking about prayer, obviously, these past nine months of sermons on prayer already, and beginning our 10th month of sermons on prayer. And we only have these last 3 months of the year, if you will, looking forward to that. And as we near the end of 2024 already. But as we get into this, and we'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you're physically able. And we'll read here responsively the whole chapter, verses 1 through 12. You can join me out loud on the even verses. I will sing. I'm going to sing here in a minute, but with my boys. But I'll read first the odd verses. But you join me on the even verses out loud as we read Psalm 5. The Bible says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Well, today, as we move on talking about prayer, the title is Personal Prayer. We need to realize the depth and gravity of personal prayer. And as we read together today, I hope you understand the heart of David. And we're going to focus primarily on David. I'm going to mention a few other guys here as we go along today. But if anything, if you read through the Psalms, but by the way, we have a large chunk of David's life, not only recorded in Psalms, but in you know, Kings and Chronicles and Samuel. We see about David's life. We're told a lot about David. He's a kind of a larger than life character in the Bible. Okay, most of the kids and young people and even older people, if you ask about Bible stories, David and Goliath is one of the top stories on the list. Right? I mean, that type of thing. If you talk about the most tragic failures, David and Bathsheba is at the top of the list. You understand? This guy David, he encompasses a lot of the things of Scripture that were talked about. Even in the New Testament, things are told about David, right? And obviously the throne of David, that's a big deal, right? It's not the throne of Solomon, it's the throne of David. And David is the only one in the Bible called a man after God's own heart. Out of millions of people. And by the way, I mean, Saul, great guy. Moses, great guy. But they weren't men after God's own heart, right? Necessarily, as far as God tells us. But David was titled that, if you will. And so I want you to realize that out of the 25 times the phrase "my prayer" comes up in the Bible, all right, 4/5 of them are from David. Okay? He was a personal prayer guy. And we see that recorded in Scripture over and over again. And one of these places is the text we read today. And I want you to look, just think about how many times the personal pronouns are used. Right? Everybody knows personal pronouns, right? I, my, me, right? Those personal pronouns. Listen to this. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, and my God. Are you all counting? For unto thee will I pray. Okay, already we already have, what, 10? Something like that? Did I count right? One. No, only six? One, two. Are you sure? Three, four, five, six. Okay, let's go to verse 3. And my voice, that's 7. Shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I, that's 8, right? Direct my, that's 9. Prayer and I and unto thee, and we'll look up. We got to go to verse 4. Anyways, okay, you understand, it's a lot. So what are we expressing here? That prayer is not a mechanical thing. And by the way, how many of you either grew up in a religion or know of a religion that uses a prayer book? How many of you have read a prayer out of a prayer book before? Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? They have a book of pre-printed prayers, and they maybe in their order of service. Brother Camp, I'll get some of these, and we'll do one of these every once in a while. And they'll have, instead of hymn 43, they'll have prayer 107, and everybody will stand up and they'll read prayer 107. Okay. Is that really what God wants? No, folks, He wants personal prayer. You see, we've got to really, and I know this is a simple concept, and I maybe it's too simple, but God wants to talk to you. And He wants you to talk to Him. And this is an individual, personal thing. Now, of course, you know how much I love to define things, but I think that's very critical and important. Many times we read the scriptures and don't define things, and we need to define things. But personal just means relating to an individual. I mean, that's simple, right? And so, what is personal prayer? It means it relates to you and you and you and you and me and him and her. It's personal. It relates to us as individuals. And it affects individuals. So personal means it's affecting individuals. What do you say when you say to someone, don't take this personal, right? I don't want this to affect you as an individual. By the way, most of the time when we say that, anyways, let's not open that can of worms. Now, but so not only is it relating to me, but it's supposed to affect me. So when I say it's personal prayer, that means it affects me. I'm the person. I'm the one that this prayer relates to, and it affects me. Is also something that is private. It's a private action or private character. It's something that's proper to the individual. It's for me, by me. It's all about, if you will, it's all about me. Now, we've talked about that prayer's all about Him, but we've got to let God into our lives. And we've got to open up to Him and expose all that's within us. It's personal. It affects us. And by the way, folks, I think one of the problems why we're powerless in prayer is because we're not letting it in. We're not letting it be personal. Prayer is personal. It's not mechanical. It's not just something we recite. It's not just something we do. It's not a machine. It's flesh and blood, if you will. It's something physical. It's something mental. It's something spiritual. It's personal prayer. And by the way, these examples that we're going to look at today, I don't know how you can't get anything else but this idea from what David prays. He's so eloquent in his emotions and his feelings and his individuality and what it means to him, this thing of prayer. I mean, just in the first three verses, can you feel that? And by the way, folks, we have these examples for a reason. So that we can pray. I mean, not that you desire this, but how many of you would like to be known as a man or a woman after God's own heart? Right? Now, not that you're looking for a badge of honor, right? Or not that you're looking for the coat of many colors or something like that where God, you know, and not even that you're looking for the face that Moses had shining, you know, where you had to put a veil over it because you're glowing so much. But man, for God Almighty to think of you as after his own heart. Wow. And you know how we get to that? When prayer becomes personal. When it's my God. When it's my voice and my heart and all these things that he says, it's my cry and God, I want you to hear me because you belong to me and I belong to you. And it's this relationship. And that's what prayer is. Look at verse 4. He says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing." So by the way, own your car. Don't lease it. God's going to destroy it. That's not... Thank you for laughing. Okay? Look up the word. It's a good word. Okay? It doesn't mean what you think it does. Okay? Now, but then he says, "The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." And then he says, "But as for me," okay, so he says, "I'm not this." These people that are like this, that have wickedness and evil and foolishness and hatred and iniquity and all these things, bloody and deceitful. He says, "That's not me because my prayer is personal. I can't come to God like that." And by the way, when we realize, folks, that those people have no place in the presence of God. He says, "God, you don't have any pleasure in them." He says that they're not going to be able to stand in your sight and you're going to destroy them. He says, that's not me, God. He says, "But as for me, I will come into thy house, into the multitude of mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." You understand that personal prayer is pure prayer. You understand that we need to get right. Y'all know 1 John, right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's a restoration verse. That's a restoring of fellowship. And by the way, if you look back to the model prayer, right? We come before God worshiping God, right? And we ask him for what? Our daily needs. And for what? Forgiveness of our sin. Folks, we need to come before God and we need to personally get right about our sin. And we've got to say, "God, I'm gonna come before you with a pure heart. And I'm gonna confess these things." By the way, one of the reasons why we can't have personal prayer is because we have aught against God. We're sinning against God. Or there's something blocking that prayer. And that something is usually pride, sin, or whatever it is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, all those things. And we've got, if you read through some of these Psalms, you see David, one of the first things he does is he makes sure that he's in a pure state before he puts out his claim for God to help him. Was David perfect, folks? No, just go through and read Psalm 51, right? Created me a clean heart, O God, right? And renew a right spirit within me, right? Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, right? You understand that he's asking God to create in him a clean heart. You know what? That's personal, isn't it? Here's the thing. We all have skeletons in the closet. Come on now. We all do. And you know what? I don't care what yours are. I don't. That's not my place. But God does. Because it's personal for him. And it's personal for you. That's why we need to confess our sins to him. That's why we need to get things right with him. That's why we got to open up to him. And it makes it a personal thing that we will be in communion with our God. Folks, God is faithful. He does hate evil. And by the way, that's why it's so hard for us. Let me flip over there. In 1 John, listen to this. I want to get it right. He says that if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I mean, is he going to hear us? If that's the case, no, he's not. We're liars. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to him. If you will, we're lying to everybody else. We say we have fellowship, but we don't. Because we're not doing the truth. We're not walking in the right way. If in verse 8 he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Folks, how many times have we done that? And guess what we use as a basis of comparison? Well, I'm better than so-and-so. Or the thing that I've ever said before, well, I haven't killed anybody. Like that's the mark? That's not the mark. God said, or Jesus said the hatred, right? If you hate your brother, you've already committed murder, right? We get wrapped up in this stuff, but it's not true. We need to have this personal relationship with God. If you're there in Psalm 5 still, look back one chapter. Look at Psalm 4. David says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. I love that title. God of my righteousness. By the way, our righteousness is as filthy rags. So if God's the God of our righteousness, we have the right kind of righteousness. And we have the right kind of relationship with him. By the way, if we're living in our own righteousness, we're living in sin, folks. Our righteousness is nothing. Christ's righteousness is everything. We put on that cloak of righteousness. It's his. It's not ours. But it's ours because he's given it to us in that respect, if you will. But it's not our own doing. David calls God the God of his righteousness. He says, hear me. He says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. My prayer. Folks, I know that, if you will, because of pride and such, we're not supposed to be possessive in that way. But can I tell you something? It's okay to be possessive of God's things because they're his. Okay? Not mine. Like, for instance, this thing of, we went through this thing of my truck. Now I have a new my truck. Okay? But it's really not my truck. It's God's truck, right? But it's possessed. By the way, my wife and I have the privilege of, I just used that word again, my wife. God gave, she's God's. I've given her back to God, if you will. So, you know, God can do what he wants with her. But my children, right? We say all those things. But by the way, I want to be a good manager of those things. But I really know that they're not mine. They're his. But I need to act like they're mine. I need to take possession of them. Because it's personal. And if something's personal, it has value. And so, not for sake of pride, but for sake of personal value, it's my prayer to God. It's not your prayer to God. It's not some random prayer to God. It's not some printed prayer to God. It's my prayer to my God, because it has value. And so we've got to we need to understand that there's value to the possession of personal prayer. My prayer. O ye sons of men, he says in verse 2, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Is that word again? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Here it is again. There's that cleanness again. He said, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. And why will God hear when I call unto him? Because I'm godly. I'm in his righteousness. I'm pure in his sight. Folks, do you understand that on a personal level, when we are full of iniquity and sin, the Lord will not hear us? The Bible says that, doesn't it? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Why do you think that is? Because it's personal. Folks, we have a holy, holy, holy God. He's a jealous God. He hates sin. And if we're involved in sin, we're in trouble. We've got to realize that this is personal. We've got to get right with him. We've got to be right with him so that he will hear us. Because it's my prayer. And if we want God to hear our prayer, we've got to get right. Folks, many of us, we dabble in sin. We live in sin. Or if you will, I may resurrect this message one day or not. I don't know. But one of my first, probably the first year that I was in the academy as the principal, I preached a message on pet sins. And I went through the whole illustration. And all I had at the time was different levels of conduit. You know, like electrical conduit, right? I had a little one that I put in my pocket. And it was a little pet sin. And then I had a bigger one in it, and it was in my other side of the pocket, and it grew. It was a little bit bigger. And then I got one of those ducting, the ducting from the air conditioning, and I got in it. You know, and I'm kind of flailing around, and the thing's moving like a worm. Because it grows and then it consumes you. It eats you up. You wonder why we can't get a hold of God? Because sin is personal, folks. And it affects our personal prayer. David knew that above all, didn't he? As he's opening his life up to God and he's understanding what it takes to get a hold of God. By the way, you don't just magically become a man after God's own heart. It's kind of a process. And folks, we see this roller coaster that David goes through in his life, where he's close to God, away from God, close to God, away from God, you know. But he knew it was personal. And he pours his heart out to God in many of these cases. Look at Psalm 6. O Lord, now for me, these are all on the same page here of my Bible. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also is sore vexed. But thou, Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? Folks, does this sound personal? Very personal. Does he know he's not right with God? Yeah, he knows. Is he begging God to forgive him, to have mercy? Yes, he is. He says, look at verse 6. He says, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Prayer is personal, folks. And it has to do with our relationship with Him. It seems like today, and you can flip over to Psalm 35 with me. I want you to know that this message is being preached to, has been preached to your pastor first. Okay? We're so powerless today as Christians because of our involvement with sin in the world. And that's personal to God. You understand that? He bought me with a price. He paid for my soul. And yet I choose to sin against Him. And you know, folks, I'm not unlike any of the rest of you. I have besetting sins. Things that get me down more often than not. We all have them. And for many of us, they're different. By the way, drugs and alcohol, not my problem. I've never been tempted by those things. I probably never will be tempted by those things. They don't appeal to me at all. I don't know why you'd want to chew on a campfire, and I don't know why you want to drink rotten grain. I have no clue. Neither one of those things appeal to me at all. Smoking and drinking, not a problem. But for some of you, I'm not making fun of you, but for some of you, that's a problem. We all have our own devices. But can I tell you, it hinders my ability to pray and to have a personal prayer life with God. He's my God. But when I choose to sin, do I really have that sentiment? No. Because what does the Bible say? If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. We can't. And you can't serve two masters, and you can't straddle the fence. It doesn't work. So prayer is indeed personal. Look at Psalm 35, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to just continue to feel the personal nature of prayer. In Psalm 35, it says, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, and without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation." Folks, listen to me. Our biggest enemy is our flesh. And we're supposed to be new creatures in Christ, right? Old things are supposed to be passed away. But yet this dead man keeps chasing us. And keeps setting up a net for us and trying to snare us. And that's the problem we deal with. And guess what? It's personal. It affects the individual. It affects me. And I've got to understand that prayer is personal. And listen, I got to get on my knees before God and say, "God, Take care of that flesh. Take care of that enemy that persecutes me for no reason. I'm supposed to be dead to that. I'm not supposed to live in that. I'm not supposed to go back to the vomit. I'm not supposed to go back to the mire. But I do. And boy, we could go get out and quote Romans 7, right? I would that I could, that I did not, did, that I would not, that I would not, that I should not, that I didn't, that I couldn't, that I won't. That's a paraphrase. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Because sin is with me. And folks, we're not gonna escape that until we take our last breath. We enter into the portals of heaven. That's why we gotta fight. Are you willing to fight for personal prayer? Is he your God? Is this your prayer with him? Is this your time with him? Are you willing to sacrifice and crucify the flesh so that you can be with your God? It's personal. There's so many more psalms I want to get to, but I promised the nursery workers I'd be done in a certain time. And I have 4 minutes. All right. Oh, Psalm 42. Flip over there. I'm skipping several. I hope you understand that. I love this one. There's a little chorus that was made up about this psalm. As the heart... That's not your heart. That's a deer. Okay, a heart. The animal panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O my God, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. By the way, how many times that happened to us? Yeah, that broad path leads to destruction, folks. How many of you said this? Well, everybody's doing it. Oh, I hate everybody. Oh. Come on. When I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, when the multitude that kept holy day, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, and all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. There it is. My prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now I have a few more things to say about this, and maybe I'll tag on to it next time. But I hope that I've been able to adequately stress to you the importance of personal prayer. It's an individual thing. It's a personal thing. It's attributed in relating to you. And it affects you. And it's peculiar or proper to you. And it's private to you. That's why Jesus says in the model prayer to enter into thy closet. And to pray unto thy God, because it's personal. Personal prayer.